Good evening. It's good to see everyone this evening, and it's good to be able to come together for a period of Bible study, and I'm appreciative of your presence. And we especially are grateful for those who are visiting, who are in town for the week, and we're glad that you're with us this evening. I'm sure you've seen, of course, we see at this time of the year quite a bit as we're driving around in the community and in our neighborhoods, we see the manger scenes that are set up out in the front yards. Of course, as a part of every manger scene, you've got Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus and the three wise men. This evening, we're not going to critique Christmas, but if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, we're going to talk this evening about how that wise men seek Jesus. And I wonder sometimes if at this time of the year there are individuals who are interested in Jesus and in His birth, but when the holiday is over with, they're not so much interested in Him. And I want us to be considering this evening the importance of seeking Jesus all throughout the year, every day. And it's the wise thing to do. In Matthew chapter 2, of course, we're familiar with the story about how that the wise men come and seek Jesus. And that's the wise thing to do. As we go throughout life, when we get up each day, the wise thing to do is to seek Jesus. And that's what we want to encourage ourselves on this evening. So if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, we're going to look at some great things in the lives of these men and hopefully make some application for us this evening. Let's go out and be wise. That question that James asks in the scripture reading, who is wise and understanding among you? Well, the answer this evening is those who seek Jesus. Unfortunately, I believe that when the holiday is over with, I believe many people go back to their normal ways of life and Jesus is of no interest to them. You know, we have the tradition of the wise men. Typically, there are three, and throughout tradition, names have been associated with them. But this evening, we're not interested in any kind of tradition. We're interested in the factual account that is given in Matthew chapter 2 and some lessons that we can learn from them. We're told wonderful lessons, some great things about these men. And I believe these great things can be in our lives today. Seeking Jesus, being wise and coming to Jesus is not just certainly something that's done once a year. It's something that we need to do each and every day. Let's read the text together in Matthew chapter 2 and then come back and make some lessons for our admonition this evening. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, Matthew records, "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written through the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, land of Judah, art in no wise least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come forth a governor who shall be shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod privily or privately called the wise men and learned of them exactly what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search out exactly concerning the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I also may come and worship him. And they, having heard the king, went their way, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they offered unto him gifts and gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be there until I tell thee. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And he arose and took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt did I call my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the male children that were in Bethlehem and in all the borders thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had exactly learned of the wise men. We're familiar with this truthful account of the birth of Christ. And this evening, I want us to be reminded of some important lessons concerning these wise men. The truth of these wise men, I believe, sometimes gets lost. Of course, we have this religious holiday that does not have any biblical basis to it. And we understand that. And we understand that there are traditions that aren't true. And sometimes even the biblical story gets twisted and distorted. I saw a news report a couple of weeks ago where the Christmas story was being told in a play up in Chicago, and the people putting on the play took the narrative, part of it from the Bible and part of it from the Quran. So they were going to talk about the birth of Jesus and mix the Bible in with the Quran. Sometimes the story gets distorted, sometimes it gets commercialized, and in all of that we lose sight of the truth of this birth of Jesus. So I hope this evening we can bring ourselves back to what the Scripture teaches and learn some lessons for our admonition this evening. Let's go back through the text. Turn with me to chapter 2, back in verse 1, and let's notice some great things about these men and what made them wise, and hopefully this evening encourage ourselves to be wise. Who is wise? Wisdom, that knowledge from God and His Word and the application of it. Not being foolish, but being wise. What does it mean to be wise today? And I believe wise men and women still seek Jesus. Let's see how that is. First of all, we find that there was a great distance that was made. This was no trip across town. They traveled from afar. Now, if you say afar in Texas, somebody's thinking hot. This is a great distance. These were Gentiles, probably well-educated and well-established and wealthy magi. The Greek is magi or magi. It's used 6 times in Scripture and 4 of them here. And 2 in Acts chapter 13 where it talks about Elymas was a sorcerer. He was a magi. So there was, among some of them at least, there may have been some ability in magic or soothsaying. That's not what is brought out here in this particular text. Some of them may have had the ability to do some of those types of things. But these are men who are probably traveling from Arabia or Babylon or Persia or Media. They're traveling a great distance. And so that shows a great zeal and a great perseverance to get to Jesus. There was a serious interest in Jesus. We're going to see later in the lesson how that many people in America today view Jesus, some of their ideas about Jesus. Do we have a great perseverance that we're going to do all that we can to get to Jesus? We're going to worship Him. We're going to read His Word. We're not going to let anything stand in the way of getting to Jesus. We live in a very convenient world today where we won't do anything unless it's just super convenient. These men traveled a great distance. Would we have done the same to get to Jesus? So first of all, I want us to notice this evening their great zeal and their great perseverance. Also notice in verse 2 that there was a great question that was asked. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Wise men and women ask questions. That's how they become wise. You ever thought about that? How do we know what God wants? How can we learn more? How can we grow? Do we ask questions? Jessie, this afternoon, they were over the house. She asked me a question about a religious matter and about some brethren and their beliefs on some things. And I was thinking later, well, that's great to ask a question. Have you ever noticed today
if you're at work or somewhere else and you try to bring up a religious topic, often people don't even want to talk about it, let alone ask questions. How do we learn? How do we grow? How do we become wise? How do we apply God's Word? Ask questions. What does this word mean? What does this verse mean? What is this doctrine? What is this context? Notice that they're asking in verse 2, where is he that is born King of the Jews? This shows their great interest and their great expectation in learning the truth. It's hard to get people to engage anymore in religious matters. It's kind of like religion, you know, that's just for the old people. That's just for my grandparents, you know. I don't get into that kind of thing. Wise men and women ask questions. And we see here that they're doing the same. Out of all the questions that have ever been asked, I believe that this is one of the most important, and that is, where is he that is born King of the Jews? That is the question that is going to bring us into a right relationship with Christ and make us a follower of Christ. It puts us on the right path to obedience. And that's the wise thing. Are we asking questions tonight? Are young people asking questions? It's good to ask questions about math and science and history and geography and English and all those kinds of things that we learn in school. Are we asking questions about our relationship with Christ? What do I need to do to obey Him? And what do I need to understand more to make that commitment and that dedication? And what is baptism? And why do I need to do that? And is that something for me right now? You see, ask questions. I believe we've gotten away from that in our climate today. We need to get back to that because that's what makes us spiritually wise. Notice in verse 2, that we find, for we saw his star in the east and are come to worship him. Notice that there was a great service that was paid Jesus. They weren't coming to have a vacation. They weren't coming to have a good time and a party. They were coming to worship Jesus. And later the text says that they fell down and worshiped him. Notice that a great service was paid to Jesus. This was no mere trip to see the King. This was a trip to worship the King. It's hard to get people to come today to worship. It's hard to get people today interested in spiritual things. I want my Sunday for playing golf, and I want my Sunday for, you know, relaxing in my easy chair, and I don't want to come and worship. And notice in verse 11, when they came, they saw a child. They worshipped a child. He was not a king sitting on a literal throne. He was not even an adult. He's a child. He's newly born. But we've come to worship him. I believe it shows their faith and their understanding in who Jesus really is. Whether they were given a message from God about it or whether they understood the Old Testament scriptures that pointed to him, either way, this shows a great faith on their part. Talk to somebody today about worshiping Jesus. Talk to somebody today about being truly committed to Him, and you'll find that they're not really that interested. You see, the wise thing to do is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. As we go down through the text, we see that they followed a great guide. In verse 2, for we saw his star in the east. Again, whether it's Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17 or some other passage of Scripture, or whether they were given information from God, they followed that great guide that went before them, that star that went before them. Wise people follow the guidance of those who know more than they do. They were given a revelation that you need to follow this star and it will take you to Jesus. This is how they became wise. And out of all the guides they ever followed, this one was the most important. I'm sure these wise men had teachers at one point. I'm sure they were well educated. I'm sure that they knew a lot of things with regard to Eastern matters, maybe even Eastern religion.
But when it came to serving Christ and coming to Christ and following Christ, they put a premium on that. And I believe it shows a great dependence and a great need on their part. Show me how to get to Jesus. Guide me to Jesus. Today, again, it's difficult to get people to be interested in spiritual things. And we're on our phones and we're Googling and we're doing all kinds of things, learning how to do all kinds of things, and that's great. But are we learning how to be a Christian? Are we learning how to go to heaven? Are we trying to get someone to guide me to go to heaven? I love to use YouTube videos. Once I found out that you can use them, I love to use them to guide me on how to fix things. So this guy's fixing this and that guy's fixing that, and man, that really works. And we want guidance and we want help, and all of that's fine, but are we getting guidance to go to heaven? That's what I want us to learn this evening. And when they were given that guidance, they followed that all the way to Jesus. Notice with me in verse 9 and following, that when they saw this star, verse 10 especially, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Notice that they also experienced a great emotion. There was excitement about coming to Jesus. This was not a routine visit. This was not a bore or a chore to go through. They were excited at what they saw, and they were excited because of the great reward that stood on the other end of that journey, and that was Jesus. This shows their great love and their great devotion. When you talk with people about Jesus, do they get excited? Often they don't. People get excited about cars. People get excited about big screen TVs. People get excited about their sports team winning. People get excited about new movies coming out or new books coming out. People get excited about all kinds of things, but are we excited about serving Jesus? This material world comes in around us and crowds in around us, and we've got to see through that. Wise people see through that. There's nothing wrong with being excited about physical things, but we should be more so about Jesus. We know in the cases of conversion, the Ethiopian eunuch and The Philippian jailer and his household, they're excited. When they were baptized into Christ, they were happy. They went on their way rejoicing. Forgiveness of sins should excite us. We should be excited about being here. We should be excited about singing and praying and studying God's Word and reading our Bible every day. If we're not careful, we will lose that love and that devotion. And also notice in the text that when they come to Jesus, verse 11, they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Notice how they're worshipping a child, because they really know who he is. And then they open up their treasures. They offered unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. There was a great gift that was offered. This was not a matter of putting a few mere gifts in front of him. They offered the best they had. Their gifts were personal. I believe these gifts were from their own country and their own property and their own selection. This is something personal that I want to give to you, and it was not just sort of a leftover thing. I believe this shows their great sacrifice and selflessness. Would you have given up gold and frankincense and myrrh? Would you have been like the woman who broke that cruse of very expensive oil and anointed Jesus' feet? Would you have done that kind of thing to, or would you have said, hey, I'm going to keep that for myself. That's expensive perfume. I'm not going to just waste it on Jesus' feet. Or do we have those moments of sacrifice and selflessness where we're willing to give great things for the Lord? And in the Lord's service. This shows their great sacrifice and selflessness. And then notice with me in verse 13 that when they depart, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. And even before that, this really is a chapter of dreams. There's a lot of visions and dreams, the way God was speaking at this time. Verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country. Another way, there was a great voice of warning. Wise men listen to God. That's really what it boils down to. Wise men listen to God. That's how they become wise. Out of all the voices that can be heard, they're going to listen to what God says. I'm reminded of John chapter 10 when Jesus has described himself as the great shepherd. And he says, my sheep know my voice. They hear me. They follow me. And the voice of strangers, they will not hear. We're not going to listen to everything out there that is in the world. And there is a lot, brethren. There is a lot. There's a lot of voices that are vying for our attention. And we just got to say, no, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to listen to that human wisdom, that earthly wisdom. We're going to talk about that in a minute. I'm going to listen to God and His Word. I believe this shows great judgment on their part. I'm going to listen to God. And then last of all, when they did not do what Herod wanted them to do, and that is give up the location of Jesus so that he can come and kill him, they stirred up a great opposition. The text says that Herod was exceedingly wroth. Wise men obey God rather than men. We know that from Acts chapter 5 when Peter and John said that. We must obey God rather than men. We're not going to allow someone to pressure us and put the heat on us to do something that we shouldn't do. We're going to listen to God. And even if it means they're going to get angry about that, we're not concerned about that. This shows great conviction. And so, wise men. Maybe a little bit more than what most people think of when they're driving down the street and see those three plastic figures. There's a lot more to them maybe than meets the eye. And they're wise. And you don't read of too many wise men in the New Testament. And we would do well to ask ourselves, who are these men and how are they acting and how can we be like them? And the answer is, we can be like them in these same areas that we just talked about. Brethren and friends, this evening, let us be wise men and women. And wise men and women still seek Jesus today. And it's not a once a year thing that we think about, but every day. And it begins with the way they begin. They were searching. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Wise men and women today search until they find. Jesus said to ask. And to knock. And to seek. These men made a great trip to search. And they asked a great question, showing their zeal and their interest. Can we do that? Do we do that? When we read our Bibles, ask questions. What does this mean? And if we don't know, get help. Talk to others. Learn more. Dig in. Be deep. That's how we become wise and knowledgeable in learning what God wants for us. Let's keep asking until we get that answer. Let's keep knocking until it's opened unto us. Let's keep seeking until we find. We can be like these men. And they ask, where is he that is born, the King of the Jews? Ask. Ask questions. That's how we grow. That's how we become wise. And I'm not just talking about in Bible class. That's a great place to ask questions. Ask your parents. Ask members of the church. Ask the elders. Ask your preacher. Ask the Bible class teacher. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. I believe that there's so many people in the world today where religious knowledge or Bible knowledge, that's just something for a few religious folks out here on the side, and that's fine if they want to do that. But I'm smarter than that, you know. I don't need that kind of thing. Wise men and women take the Word of God. And so when Philip is talking with the eunuch about his understanding of Isaiah 53, do you understand what you read? And he says, how can I unless somebody shows me? Why didn't the eunuch just say, well, it doesn't matter, you know. I'm on this desert journey and I'm enjoying the scenery out here. I'm riding along in my chariot and I was reading Isaiah 53. I really don't fully understand, but that's no big deal. No, he wanted to know more, and as a result he ends up being baptized. You see the great reward for asking questions? You see the great reward in learning more, the benefits of that? And then we find that these men came to worship Jesus, and that's what we do. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. Jesus is God. And we need to remember that. I think a lot of times folks have a view of maybe a Hollywood view of Jesus or something. But we've got to get back to seeing Jesus for who He really is. And let's get a picture of Him as He is around God's throne right now at this very minute. What is Jesus like? These first century Christians were given a glimpse of Him in Revelation chapter 5, if you'll turn with me there, in verse 9. And they sing a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book, and this worthy is Jesus. Worthy are you, Jesus, to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For you were slain and did purchase unto God with thy blood men of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made them unto God a kingdom and priest, and they reign upon the earth. And I saw and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s, thousands upon thousands, saying with a great voice, worthy is the Lamb that hath been slain to receive the power and the riches and the wisdom and the might, the honor and the glory and the blessing. We've got to have an attitude toward Jesus like these heavenly beings. And it goes on even in verse 13 and 14. Both God and Jesus are worshipped by these heavenly beings. We're not going to patronize Jesus. We're not going to poke fun of Jesus. We're not going to use Him as the brunt of a joke. We're not going to just simply argue about Jesus. We're going to worship Jesus. And that's the wise thing to do. I hear more and more people today, they've become emboldened, used to. That was a hands-off topic. You know, God and Jesus and the Bible, things like that, where you respected that. But it's just becoming more and more open for people in Hollywood and singers and movie actors and comedians and others to poke fun of things that are very serious. Wise men worship Jesus. And they follow the way to Him. And God teaches us. God draws us through teaching. And it's so that we'll come to Jesus. And just as those men were given a star, we're given the Word of God. And we're not going to stop until we find Jesus. We're not going to stop until we come to know Him and obey Him. That's the wise thing to do. Wise men and women today still seek Jesus, and they're excited when they find Him. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 41, even the early church, in the midst of their persecution, they rejoiced that they could serve the Lord in that capacity. Not just joy in being converted, but joy in serving the Lord. Acts 5:41. Are we excited about being a Christian? Are we excited about telling others about Jesus Christ? We've got to get that excitement back in our lives. It's difficult to, what we talk about doing personal work and inviting others and talking with others. It's difficult to do that if we're not excited ourselves and if others don't see our excitement.
I wonder sometimes if in the church we, because we have critiqued others who have a zeal without knowledge, such as our Mormon friends or our Jehovah's Witness friends, they are extremely excited. We've critiqued that in the past, that maybe we've run in the other direction and we have no excitement.
It's not one or the other, it's both. It's zeal with knowledge. And we need that zeal. And wise men and women today still seek Jesus and they still offer their best to Jesus. We don't put gold, frankincense, and myrrh in the collection plate. But hopefully we're offering our best. And Paul says that we are a living sacrifice. Every day, our life is a sacrifice to God in Christ. And let's offer our best. Not the leftovers. Not when I get around to it, but the best. Offer ourselves, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. They gave themselves to the Lord. And we're going to do exactly what we're told. These men in Matthew chapter 2 were warned in a vision, don't go back the same way, don't go talk to Herod, you go somewhere else, and they did exactly as they were told. That is the wise thing to do. We're not going to add to or take from the Word of God, Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Now God speaks to us today through His Son, Jesus, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. He doesn't speak to us today through dreams and visions. That's how He did with these men. But He speaks to us today through His Son. And that His Son speaks to us in the recorded words, His recorded words on the pages of the New Testament. And the wise men and women today just do what they're told. And it may stir up opposition. Paul says that all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's going to be people who don't like it. When we stand for what is right, and we contend earnestly for the faith. We're not yelling and screaming. We're not pointing fingers. We're not yelling in someone's face. But when we contend earnestly for the faith and we just simply stand for truth and we speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, there's going to be people that don't like it. And there's going to be opposition, and there's going to be name-calling, and there's going to be all kinds of things thrown at us. And the text says that not only was he wroth, he was exceedingly wroth. Herod's attitude is, you don't defy me. You don't disobey me. Well, yes I do if I obey God. They weren't concerned about that. They just simply did what God said. There may be situations like that at work and school and other places where we're going to stir up opposition. But so be it. We're doing what God says to do. So, brethren, this evening, wise men and women still seek Jesus. We're to learn from this story to be wise ourselves. And that's what we want to turn to now in the New Testament. I want to look at a few passages of Scripture that encourage us to be wise today. We're very familiar with the children's song that we sing at VBS and other places, "The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock." That's not just a children's song, brethren. That's how we're supposed to live every day. And Jesus said, when you hear these words of mine and do them, you're likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Recently, I saw where Americans were asked about their belief in Jesus. And they were asked five questions. The first one was Jesus a real person? 92% said that Jesus was a real person. And that's a great percentage. I'm glad to still see that. But you got to hold on for the rest of the story. It kind of goes down from there. The next question that was asked was Jesus God in the flesh? And of course, we know the scriptural truth on that yes, He was, John 1, verse 1, and other passages. But when asked that question, the same people survey said only 56% said that, yes, Jesus was God in the flesh. That really drops down.
What we're finding, brethren and friends, is this, that there are people that believe in God, but it's not the God of the Bible. There are people that believe in Jesus, but that's not the Jesus of the Bible. It's their own views and their own thoughts and what they've heard and what they've been told.
So when they were asked, was Jesus God in the flesh, only 56% said yes. Here's another interesting one. When those same people were asked, was Jesus sinless? Was Jesus sinless, or was Jesus just like you and I, where we commit sin? 52% of the people surveyed said that yes, Jesus was a human just like us, and he sinned just like we did. 52%. Well, we know from Jesus' own mouth that he was sinless. And he was tempted in all points as we, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:13 and following. He was sinless. So people have views of Jesus that don't match Scripture. And that's going to affect their theology and their doctrine and their practice and their ideas. We've got to have the view of Jesus that is found in Scripture. When these individuals were asked, have you made a commitment to Jesus? And this is along the lines of a faith-only commitment. You accept Jesus as your personal Savior. 60% said that they had done that. And then last of all, these individuals were asked, in order to go to heaven, do you have to obey Jesus, or can you go to heaven simply by doing good works, being a good person? 5 to 10% said you could go to heaven by just simply being a good person. You don't need Jesus. My point, brethren, is that people have all different kinds of views of Jesus. But the wise thing, and I want our young people to understand this, and those of us who are older to set a good example for them, in a world where there's all that variety and all kinds of things competing for your service, the wise thing to do is to seek Jesus and believe Him and obey Him. And when you and I build our lives on His Word, it's like building on a rock. Our marriage will be solid. Our family will be solid. Our own personal lives will be solid. Because that's the wise people hear Jesus' words and do them. And it's like building on a rock. And when those storms come, and Jesus goes on to talk about how the floods came and the storms beat against the house and it stood firm, that's what the devil is wanting. And he's doing a great job at it. He's doing a great job at assaulting and attacking the American home and dividing it and tearing it apart. Look at divorce for any cause, the rate of that. And look at the divided homes and the messed up lives. He's having a heyday because wise people follow Jesus and foolish people don't. And that's why there's many that are messed up. Wise people prepare for Jesus' return. The 5 wise virgins who were prepared for their Lord to return. It's the wise thing to do to be baptized into Christ while you still can. And to live a faithful life and to worship God each and every day. That's the wise thing to do. Well, I want to be prepared for a test. That's fine. I want to be prepared for a final exam. That's fine. But being prepared for Jesus' return is the wisest thing you could ever do. And when we're wise, we're not going to listen to the world. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19. There's a few places where Paul talks about the wisdom of the world, and then James does as well. We're not going to listen to worldly wisdom with regard to origins, for example. It's not organic evolution. It's not atheistic evolution. That's not how the world began. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Wise men and women
follow the teaching of Scripture on the origins of the world, on who we are as a man or a woman. We're born that way. We're genetically that way. We're not supposed to change that. Wise people follow that teaching. Marriage is for one man and one woman for life. Wise people follow that teaching. Not homosexuality, not transgender, not evolution. Wise people say that what is inside of us is a human being, and we're not going to abort that. You see, wise. That's the wise thing. And even though those other things are popular in our nation, and even legal, that's the foolish thing. Oh, come on now. You believe that God created the world. You might be poked fun of in a college classroom for something like that. Or somewhere else. You might be poked fun of. You might be described in a number of different ways that are not good. But you know that you're the wise one. Because that's the truth of the matter. And in James chapter 3, we're not going to follow the wisdom of the world. It leads to all kinds of problems. And just turn with me to James chapter 3 real quick. There's just one word that I wanted to focus in on. When we follow earthly wisdom, James talks about how that it leads to jealousy and faction and this type of thing. But look at verse 15. I just want to focus on one thing as an application for society today. The wisdom, this wisdom is not from above. It's earthly, verse 15, sensual, devilish. For where jealousy and faction are, that is just the wisdom of men and the earth, this there is confusion and every vile deed. I just wanted to focus in on that word confusion. When we follow the wisdom of the world, marriage is all up in confusion. And whether or not I'm a man or a woman, that's all confusing. No, it's not. But when we follow the wisdom of the world, there's all kinds of confusion on how I should live and how I should act. There was a man a few months ago in Europe that made a lawsuit so that he could lower his age from 60 down to 40. So that he could date more women. They were not interested in a 60-year-old. Fortunately, the court said, no, we're not going to do that. We're trying to change our age. We're trying to change our gender. We're trying to change all kinds of things. All it does is lead to confusion. And that's exactly what the devil wants. We're not going to have that kind of foolishness in our lives. We're going to be wise. And so James says, verse 17, we're going to have that wisdom from above. That's from God's Word, from heaven. People might poke fun of it. They might say that it's antiquated and old, but we're going to follow that. And we're going to be wise. And we're going to walk in wisdom each day. And we're going to redeem the time. And we're going to live by our Bibles each and every day. And we're going to raise our children on that. Timothy had a mother and a grandmother, fortunately, that from a babe he knew the sacred writings which made him wise unto salvation. We're going to start early. We're going to keep that in our lives all the way. And wisdom is tied to a knowledge of God's Word. For example, in Colossians 1:9 and other Bible passages. That's why we're going to read our Bible every day. And that's why we're going to have Bible-based sermons and Bible-based classes and reading our Bibles every day, because that's where we get the wisdom to be wise men and women and to keep us away from that confusion that is all around us in the world today. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement in just a moment. In Matthew chapter 2, there was Herod who was against Jesus. And there's people like that today. There were the wise men who were for Jesus. And then there's the religious leaders that are probably somewhere in between. And some of them
would be perfectly fine if just Jesus went away. And I believe you have that today. Are we going to be like Herod and be against Jesus? Are we going to be like the religious leaders who are religiously ambivalent maybe toward Jesus? Or are we going to be like the wise men and be a wise man and woman and come and seek Him and obey Him and get to Him and find Him and worship Him and live by His Word each and every day? I believe wise men still seek Jesus. Let that be you and me this evening. It's much more than what maybe the holiday and the world around us makes it out to be. Let us live by that wisdom that is from above, and we will have the great things in our lives that God has for us. If we can encourage you to do that this evening, we want to do that. And for those of you who are members of the Lord's body, go out and be wise. May not be the popular thing to do, but it's that which Jesus wants. And if we can help you to do that this evening, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?